You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guest is my good friend and mastermind member, and gosh, I guess you could say starting to be serial entrepreneur, Trevor Whitwer. And Trevor's got probably as interesting a backstory, interesting a journey as anybody I know within our industry. From playing professional basketball overseas to coming back and building a business in a town that I don't necessarily think most of us would expect to support a business of its magnitude, to, you know, now building, you know, a booming software business that I think is really adding massive value to the industry. And I'm using it, my wife's using it, and a lot of the people that we work with are using it. So, you know, I'm going to ask Trevor to kind of uncover or pull back the curtain on a lot of this stuff. So let's get started. Welcome, Trevor.
Thanks, Pat, for having me. Yeah, man, if we go back, you know, kind of way back, I have a degree, a bachelor's degree in health and fitness. And originally had planned to go to chiropractic school. Had been accepted, done all the prerequisite work, was all actually applied and accepted into school, and ended up getting a contract to go play overseas. So decided to forego the chiropractic thing, figured it'd always be there. I ever wanted it, and left to go to Germany and really did the overseas basketball thing for about 3 years. I'm splitting my time between Germany for about 9 months of the year and then the U.S. for about 3 months of the year. When I would come back to the U.S., I'd go home to my hometown, which is Redwood Falls, Minnesota, small farming community out in southwestern Minnesota. I would stay there, I'd work out, and because of my degree, I wanted to make a little extra money, and so I'd just start training people here and there. I'd probably train 4 or 5 clients during the summer. And then I would leave in August and September and go back to Germany. It was after my 3rd year, I was home, I was training. I had a contract to go back overseas. And this was right when that kind of boot camp trend was starting. So we were kind of moving away from this idea of personal training and moving more into this large group model. And I had the personal training, but I also started doing some of the boot camp stuff as well. And so I was starting the boot camp stuff. You know, maybe had 20, 25 clients with that large group model. And, you know, I was ready to shut it down and head back overseas. It was probably late July, early August. And I get a call from my agent and the team pulled the contract. So one thing about like overseas basketball is a very cutthroat and there's not a whole lot of loyalty there. So what had happened was one of the native German players had gotten hurt. One of the big guys had gotten hurt in the off season and was going to be out for the season. So they could no longer take my position as a foreign player because they can only have usually 2 to 3 foreign players per team. So they had to take a big guy as their foreign player. So I was kind of SOL basically and felt that my business was moving along enough that, all right, let's hang out and see where this goes. So when I first started my business, I worked out of a local community center, probably similar to most fitness pros, personal trainers. And I set up a really good deal with them where I basically contracted for space. And I think it was like 5%. Like I would give them 5% of whatever I make and I could use anything in their facility. And huge community center, 4 basketball courts, a nice arena, a weight room, that kind of stuff. So I ran a lot of my stuff on a basketball court. And as I was starting to get serious, a guy that you know very well, Justin Ewell, I was doing some searching online and came up with this because boot camp was huge. So I was searching boot camp online and I saw that Justin had a boot camp in Chanhassen, which is about 2 hours from where I lived in Redwood Falls. So I shot Justin an email. He got back to me and we decided to meet and had a great meeting with Justin. And Justin then introduced me to this guy named Pat Rigsby. He's like, you got to look him up. He's the business guru. He's the business guy. And he's going to help you propel your business forward. So I took a lot of notes, went back and started implementing this bootcamp model a little more efficiently. We were doing just the band thing. So it was bands and body weight. And then at that point, I was starting to get really serious about the business side of things and going through school, getting your education. You don't learn anything about business unless you're seeking it out with business courses. So I was clueless on the business front and started to get involved with you, Pat, and your former company, and really started to grow my business at that point with that mentoring that I got from you guys. And I think that was really one of the major turning points for me in my business, was just hiring a coach, hiring someone outside. Even though I couldn't really afford it at the time, I was going to figure out a way to make it work because I knew that it would pay dividends on the return big time. And so coaching has always been a very serious part about my business. Being involved with business coaches, just having that outside perspective is key.
So let's talk about, you know, how your business kind of grew, because, you know, I had the good fortune to come up and, you know, spend a day in the facility, or actually part of 2 days at the facility. Justin actually came with me and, you know, we did some on-site coaching consulting. And at that point, what you had accomplished was already really impressive relative to, you know, the size of the market. The fact, I don't necessarily know that it would be a market that lends itself to, you know, maybe a coaching model, and, or at least by most people's expectations. So maybe there, you know, there's some insight in that alone, just saying that, hey, you know what, don't assume that people won't want this if you have a great experience. But, you know, not only was it really successful then, but I mean, what that business does now compared to what it did then, it is, you know, what, at least double, if not more.
Right. Yeah. So to give everyone just a little bit of a background on the community that I live in a farming community, a little over 5,000 people. I think it's officially like 5,300. And this isn't like a community right outside of a big community. And so the next closest town with over 10,000 people is about 45 minutes away. So we're definitely like an isolated island. And had I decided to just open a gym without any clients, I don't think it would have been successful. I would have ran out of money before I could have ever really developed some traction. And I don't think I could say I did this intentionally, but based upon the constraints that I was in, I didn't have any money. I needed to use the resources that I had available. And so I was able to create this good relationship with the local community center. We negotiated a percentage base, so I didn't have to pay out a fixed amount every month. It was based upon what I made. And I was able to kind of build my client base systematically. And then I got to a point where my client base got big enough that it could support then moving into a gym. So I was able to really control my expenses, which was huge. So I could start putting money away, putting money away, putting money away, putting money away. So then when I move into this space, you know, we already have the client base. I already know I'm going to cover rent. I know I'm going to cover all my expenses. And then now that's going to give us room to grow. Because the community center, I mean, was great. And I'm very thankful for them allowing me to do it there. But I mean, we were working out of like a 400 square foot closet for some time. We were in the ice arena in the summertime. In the wintertime, we were on basketball courts. So it was hard to create a really good experience in what I wanted for my clients. So we got to probably 70 or 80 clients there, mainly large group training, but also we did some semi-private before we decided to move into the gym. And what ended up happening was we bought a building that was about 6,000 square feet. And so the building was completely destroyed. It was disgusting on the inside. It was a former dry cleaners. There was just, it was not a place that anyone thought anything could really thrive. The dry cleaner went out of business. It was just kind of sitting there. So what we did was we went in and basically gutted a third of it, because we knew that if we do a third, we can run our business out of a third of it. And so we went in, gutted a third, put in some showers and locker rooms, and basically used up all the money that we had available to make that space work. And then we worked out of that space. Eventually, I ended up bringing on my then fiance, now wife, to start handling admin and some of that outside of training stuff. And then she did a little bit of training as we got deeper into it. And then I ended up bringing on another coach a little bit later. But we're still working out of a probably maybe 2,500, 3,000 square feet piece space. And I think that's when you came over, Pat. We were still in this little bit smaller of a space. And then from there, we basically, we had another third that we renovated the next summer because we needed to build up some capital. And then it's probably 2 summers ago now, we finally finished the building. And now we run out of a full 6,000 square foot facility. We have you know, but we go between 230 to 250 clients. And we've got about a staff of four full-time coaches and a few part-time coaches. And now it's starting to run fairly smoothly. But you're seeing the production now when you come to the facility, and you don't really see the 3-4 years of kind of struggle that got to, you know, where we're at now. Because the community that we're in, like you said before, Pat, is definitely a lower income community. I mean, I think the medium household income or medium household income is like 40,000. So we're definitely in a different market than something like this you would think would thrive. But we've been able to get around that by how we offer things, having the large group model so we can have a little bit lower of a price point. In the industry, we're definitely on the lower end, but we're still 3 times as expensive as anything else in town. So if you wanted to go to the local SNAP or the local community center, you're probably paying 25 to 30 bucks a month, maybe 40 bucks a month. And training with us, even just 2 times a week in our large group, is in that 80 to 100 range. So I think that just shows that people value coaching. They value community. And even in smaller communities, they're willing to pay for it. So that's kind of the story.
So talk about kind of where you've transitioned to now, because I mean, the business is still thriving, but you know, you're a little more absentee, you know, obviously expanding what you're doing and moving into some new things. You and Kane have, you know, launched this software company that I think solves a pretty acute problem in our industry and probably a lot of other industries. So, you know, let's fast forward to now.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if we look at now, it was probably about a year ago this time, and maybe a little bit earlier, we had started this new company called Habit Catalyst. We basically had this need in our own gyms. All right, we have all these clients now. How do we coach nutrition? And my background comes from Precision Nutrition. I've done their level 1, level 2. I've drank the Kool-Aid. I love their stuff. It's awesome. I think they give some of the best coaching out there and some of the best training for coaches. But at the time, they had this really cool software that they could coach their clients with online. But us as coaches really didn't have anything. I mean, we had tried to do the pen and paper thing where we gave habits to clients. They took them home. They brought them back. On that sheet, they showed how many times they did it, and then we had to track it in Excel, and it just became really cumbersome, and we would have had to hire somebody just to try and keep track of all this paperwork. And so we were just thinking, there's got to be a better way to solve this problem. And Kane, which is one of my best friends from college, we played basketball together there, lives in Madison, Wisconsin, and he owns a gym in Madison, Wisconsin called Core Health and Fitness. And we would just talk back and forth about these similar issues that we're having in our gym. And technology was, I mean, is solving a lot of these problems, but it hadn't yet in the fitness space. We just decided to go out and build this thing, having no idea. Neither of us are tech guys. Neither of us can write a lick of code, but we're like, we'll just figure out a way to do this. And like most ideas, we sat on it for probably 9 months to a year and just kept talking about it. Yeah, we should do it. Yeah, we should do it. And it's probably about 2 years ago when we started embarking on this new venture, Habit Catalyst, where our goal was to help automate daily client check-ins so that a client could check in daily and we could see in real time how well that client is doing with the different skills or practices or habits that they're working on. And then also be able to deliver education to them in a very systematic way. So it didn't rely solely on me to make this happen. My other coaches could run it, and they would run it in the exact same way that I would run it. So it was a way for us to really systemize our coaching, especially around nutrition and lifestyle design and that kind of stuff that we wanted to teach our clients. But again, this was a great concept and this idea, but now it's like, how do we, you know, manifest this into a software? We were fortunate at a point in both of our businesses where our businesses were profitable that we could take some of those profits and now start moving it into this new experience. And like starting any new business, you run into a whole bunch of roadblocks and you spend a lot of time looking in the mirror, thinking about what the heck am I doing? You know, is this going to work? And we actually went with one development company to start, and we decided to go the cheap route. And we probably spent 6 months developing. And by the end, we just had to scrap it completely because they weren't delivering what we needed them to deliver. It wasn't working. And so we had to scrap it completely. And we moved to a brand new kind of higher end development company to start building it. And then we just started building, and we went through about 3 different beta rounds. Being in the fitness industry, I think this is our we have kind of a unique advantage because we know the struggles that coaches have on a daily basis. And we know the basically where time sinks are in people's and coaches' lives. So our goal is with Habit Catalyst is really try and fill that with technology so that coaches can do more coaching and less kind of admin systems work. And being in the industry, we were able to get a bunch of beta testers on board right away and have them get into the software and break it and figure out, you know, what else we need in it. And now we're just kind of incrementally, you know, building it as we go. But it's like any new business, just like when I was building a gym at the start, this is a brand new business and it has the same struggles. And it's the same thing now where we're running in how do we find clients and how do we service those clients. But at my core and at my heart, I'm an entrepreneur. And so having these new projects to work on is really what fuels me to keep going.
So let's kind of pick up on that because, you know, you've had enough success, obviously, as an athlete to play professionally. You've had enough success as a fitness professional subleasing to open a facility. You grew that facility. You own your own building there. You've been able to kind of step away in a way that a lot of people don't, right? A lot of people feel kind of tethered to their business. And now you're starting to gain some traction with software. So what kind of takeaways, what kind of lessons? I know you touched on, you know, the use of a coach, but what kind of things could somebody maybe learn from you or would you be willing to teach them if they wanted to go from kind of startup business owner or about to open their own space to building, you know, a successful, even thriving business, even if circumstances may not immediately lead them to think that it's going to be likely that it's going to go great?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Touched on it initially with kind of the business coaching. That was a huge game changer for me. And more than just like the information that you get, but the accountability that you get in moving forward. And then, I mean, for my business to grow, it was really about doing everything I could possibly to take care of my clients, whether it was, you know, following up with emails, going to events, finding any way to make sure that they were successful. That was, I think, a big piece of the early stages of my business. And then it's just having these different milestones that you're trying to reach. I remember early in my business, I remember laying on the floor, just like looking up at the ceiling and like asking myself, like, what in the world am I doing? Because I was just putting in such long days training clients and then figuring out how to get more clients and then taking care of clients. But it was kind of almost the necessary trials that you need to go through in order to create something that's going to be more valuable down the road. I knew that, you know, if I could get through this period that I would be able to create systems that would then allow me to kind of get to where I am now. I had a chart on my wall where I knew how many clients I needed to get to in order to then start moving to my gym space. So when I was contracting for space at the community center, I had it on my wall, and every time I got a new client, I would check one off. I would check one off, check one off. So it was constantly reminding me about kind of what I needed to be doing. One, I needed to be providing a phenomenal experience. And then two, I needed to continue to bring people in if I wanted to move to this next stage. And then I bootstrapped as much as I could. Initially, it was just my own hard work because I didn't have a whole lot of money. And then as we were expanding our gym, it was using the profits from our gym to be able to expand. So I didn't have to go into more debt to be able to do that. And then from that next step, moving from kind of gym owner to, you could say, absentee gym owner at this point, but I'm still connected to my gym. I have weekly meetings with our entire staff, and I have weekly meetings with individuals on our staff so that we're connected and I know exactly what's going on. But I'm just placing more trust and giving them more responsibility with the day-to-day operations. And so it was probably June of last year, we were about 9 months out from us saying, all right, this is what we're going to do. Habit Catalyst is starting to get a little bit of traction. That's something that I want to put most of my focus on. So I know it was June of 2016, June of this year, we were going to make the move. Like, it was a non-negotiable. And this was really a conversation between me and my wife. And it was a non-negotiable. We were going to move at that point because I wanted to put a little bit more focus on Habit Catalyst. Our staff at the gym was awesome. Like, we had great people in place. I knew that the gym would be in a great place under my coach's care. And so we just basically roadmapped it. We said, all right, June of 2016, this is what we want to do. This is where we're at right now. Here are the different things that we need to teach people so that they can run things. Here's the hires that we need to make to replace the things that we're doing right now. And then it was just a matter of incrementally knocking it out. And then we told our staff pretty early in that process, kind of letting them know what our thoughts were, what our plans were, to make sure that everyone was on board and everyone felt comfortable with their responsibilities. And then we just started hammering it out, because we said in June, and then we finally signed a lease probably middle of winter. So we were a few months out from even leaving, and we had a lease that started in June. And so it was kind of having that hard deadline, I think, was huge, where I knew that at the beginning of June, I was going to leave and everything needed to be in place to run day-to-day operations.
Well, I mean, that's wonderful, because that, I think that's a real sticking point for people, removing themselves from doing, in some cases, everything. You know, I don't think you necessarily have to aspire to move out of the city to want to have a little bit more freedom and be able to, you know, if you've got kids, go, you know, attend or be involved in their activities instead of training the sessions in the evening, or, you know, having some free time on weekends, being able to take vacations. And you've been able to, you know, really do a good job with this. So any other advice or insight on that?
Yeah, I think it's really just getting clear with what you're doing. I think that's number one, is just being really clear. And for me, like, I had almost like burn the boats kind of thing, where I had to burn the boats. I said, this is my deadline and it needs to happen by then. And then it just could work back from there. But I think one, just being clear what you want. And I think you do a really good job with this, Pat, in just helping people figure out, what do I actually want? Because bigger isn't necessarily always better. Sometimes bigger just means more headaches, because bigger doesn't also necessarily mean a lot more money or a lot more profits. And so it's first getting clear, really clear on what you want. And then in testing things, like, especially like for me, I'm in a different state. I'm 7 hours from home. I can get back there in a day if I need to, but I'm not, you know, right down the street. And testing things, you know, if you just want to take a few days off, test it, try it, see what happens. Your business isn't going to burn down. Your clients aren't all going to leave. And then see what the reaction is, see how you feel. And if it doesn't work, then you can scrap it. It's not like when we make these decisions that we can't ever go back. But I think as just people in general, we always think about like worst case scenario, what's going to happen? You know, if I stop coaching this group, all the clients are going to leave and I'm not going to have a business. And we kind of just go down that rabbit hole. And that was something for me early, was the business was built around me. Like, even to this day, some people still call it like Trevor's boot camp, because that's what it was known at as the beginning. And so I had a hard step in that first hire where, like, you know, if I bring on this new person, all these clients are connected to me. And now if I bring on this new person, you know, am I going to lose all these clients because they feel like they need to train with me? And it never ended up materializing that way. And I think we did a good job on how we presented it to the clients. And we didn't just bring in this new person, slap them in, and, you know, just say, I'm out of here. There was a transition period. We really built up this new person. And then we kind of brought them in systematically so that the clients got to know, like, and trust this person. And then I kind of gradually built myself out. It wasn't necessarily these like abrupt changes. It was these gradual changes that allowed me to take the next step, and then a gradual change to the next step. Because when we look at this kind of journey, I mean, we're talking about 4 years here. This isn't like 6 months. This is 4 years of just gradual steps in the direction that we wanted to go. And I think a lot of people too want things to happen so quickly. They want it now. And that's just the nature of our society. And just understanding that things take time. And that's even the same thing with like Habit Catalyst. Like, we've been working on this thing for 2.5 years, and we're just kind of slowly, gradually moving. There could be a time when all of a sudden we get a big break and something good happens. That big break will come because of all these kind of day-to-day things that we're doing to help consistently growing what we're trying to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that stuff's outstanding. So as we get kind of close to wrapping up here, let's talk just for a moment more about Habit Catalyst, because I think this is kind of an exciting time. You know, you've got one business that's successful and you basically used it to kind of spawn a second business that I think is gaining some traction. So this is probably a little bit different than some of the interviews that I do. I kind of want to put you on the spot here and say, so what do you think it's going to take on your end to make Habit Catalyst as successful relative to your goals for it as the gym has been relative to your original goals there?
I mean, we're kind of playing in a different field now, but there are some similarities. I mean, business is business, no matter if we're running a fitness facility, a salon, a Fortune 500 company. You need to generate leads. You need to allow those people to try out your offering, and then you need to turn them into raving fans and clients. And so our approach to this, and we're fortunate that we've been in the fitness industry for a while, so we have connections to other people in the fitness industry, which has allowed us to gain some traction. I think that's been our biggest advantage at this point, is just the relationships that we've built over the years, which has allowed us to put this in their hands, and then they're telling their communities about it. It's a different world because now we're dealing with, my market with functional fitness is, you know, the 5,000 people in my town, and probably really like the 2,000 people in my town. But now with Habit Catalyst, our market is the world. It's really anyone who does coaching or anyone who does nutrition work, anyone that does lifestyle work. And so for us initially with Habit Catalyst is we want to keep our niche very small. Like, we want to provide the best service possible right now to fitness professionals, to nutritionists, to people in those industries and kind of the health and wellness industries. That's the market we're familiar with. And that's the market we feel like we can serve the best because we have an intimate knowledge of it. And for us and how we build Habit Catalyst, it's not completely built out at this point. There will be some more features that are added, but those features are determined by our users. They're not determined by what we think the market should want. It's what the market actually wants, which has allowed us to kind of build a product then that is perfect for the market. So our goal then is to go after the people that we know in our current market, and then eventually start getting into paid advertising and that kind of stuff to help drive more people. And for us too, it's a lot of teaching. Like, I jump on coaching calls with people all the time to just take them through the software, to talk about their specific business, to talk about how could we implement something like this in their business? How can it make them some more money in their business? How can it make their lives a little bit easier? And as more and more people get on the software, we're going to learn more and more about how people are using it. And then we could take that collective knowledge and give it to all our coaches so that they can be more successful with it, make some more money with it, and also make their lives a little bit easier.
Very cool. So, you know, as we bring this to a close, first of all, thank you for sharing, you know, not only the journey to date and some of the real takeaways that helped you, you know, make it happen, but also kind of where things are headed and giving people some insight on, you know, the fact that even by some measures, you may already have the ideal business, yet that's a moving target, right? Like, continuing to evolve the goal. So if somebody wants to learn more about you and Habit Catalyst, where can they find you?
Yep, you can check us out, habitcatalyst.com, or we're on Facebook. We're in VFM, so if any of you are on VFM, you can just tag us there. Both Kane and myself are there, and we're more than happy to talk with people. But Habit Catalyst is a good place to get a hold of us. Trevor@habitcatalyst.com is a good email to get a hold of me at.
Awesome, and we'll have that stuff in the show notes if you guys, you know, want to check it out there and click the links. And obviously, I'm a big fan, not only of Trevor's, but of Habit Catalyst as well, because, you know, we use it in my business. My wife's used it in her businesses. And, you know, I certainly see the value. So be sure to check it out. So thank you, Trevor. And thank you guys for listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.